This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The growing business of holding children taken at the U.S. border. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We've been looking into who's getting paid to carry out the Trump administration policy of separating children. These are children taken from parents arrested on suspicion of trying to enter the U.S. without permission. Marketplace's Andy Euler is in Brownsville, Texas now with more on the money that flows into these facilities. Hey, Andy.
Good morning.
Tell me more about this company. How did this nonprofit grow to be such a key player in this industry?
Yeah, so Southwest Key started as a local nonprofit here in Brownsville that housed basically less than 50 boys who had entered the country illegally but were not yet 18. It's now a huge nonprofit whose budget last year was almost $500 million. Now, a lot of that money comes through contracts with the federal government. But you're right, it's a bit anomalous because the other companies in the private prison space, and that's what we're talking about when you talk about immigrant detention centers for the most part, are for-profit companies. Now, I spoke with Alex Friedman at the Human Rights Defense Center, who dug into exactly how these companies make money, and I asked him whether being a nonprofit like Southwest Key actually matters.
It's all from the same bucket, which is taxpayer money. So all the money that you and I and listeners all paid to the federal government, our taxes, it all just goes into a big bucket and then is paid out to various contractors that the federal government contracts with, whether they're for-profit or non-profit.
Now, as a nonprofit, Southwest Key doesn't have to pay federal income tax, but what Friedman told me is that these other for-profit groups have declared themselves real estate companies and established real estate investment trusts, or REITs, to house their money because those are also exempt from many federal income taxes.
But this clearly is a growth opportunity for the nonprofit Southwest Key as the Trump administration pushes the family separation policy.
You're right. There's already talk of a new facility dedicated to very young children that would operate in Houston. But Houston's Mayor Sylvester Turner has already met with Southwest Key, and he's asked them to reconsider their plans to open the facility there.
And you contacted Southwest Key. What'd they say?
I got an email from Southwest Key, and I'll just read you what they wrote me. Southwest Key Programs does not operate detention centers, so we do not have detainees in our programs. We are a fully licensed child care program, and each of our shelters is regulated by a child care licensing authority, as well as the Office of Refugee Resettlement and other state and local agencies.
All right, but I just looked at the dictionary. To detain, to keep someone in official custody, is one of the definitions.
You're right, and we should be clear that Southwest Key's job as a contractor with the United States government is to take care of unaccompanied minor undocumented immigrants and children who have been separated from parents who allegedly entered the country illegally.
All right. Marketplace's Andy Euler in Brownsville, Texas. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross is set to testify today to the Senate Finance Committee. He's likely to get an earful on tariffs, Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Typically, when a Republican cabinet secretary testifies, the rough questions come from Democrats. But Secretary Ross is likely to get it from both sides.
What's happened is that there's been some fracturing of the Republican Party on trade.
Jeff Cusick is a political economist at the University of Arizona. He says the president and congressional Republicans have mostly agreed on the big policy issues. But on trade,
it looks like there are a lot more voices who are willing to speak out against Trump on this issue.
And not just in Congress. Several conservative groups are planning a multi-million dollar anti-tariff ad campaign. Tori Whiting is with the Heritage Foundation, and I spoke to her on Skype.
Well, I think that this trade situation right now has made members and individuals throughout the conservative community have to really take a look at where their priorities lie.
With the president on tariffs or with free trade? In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Commerce Secretary Ross is also facing scrutiny for his personal financial deals. Forbes magazine reported this week that Ross shorted a stock, bet on the stock's possible decline. It was a shipping company tied to the Kremlin. That was a few days after Ross was told that reporters were working on a potentially negative story about that firm. Ross denies he had any non-public info about that stock. Let's check the markets. The FTSE in London is up sharply, 1.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. For the S&P and NASDAQ futures, 0.3%. The euro is down. The dollar is up, $1.15.5 there. The dollar is down to the Chinese yuan at 6.47. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is able to do what we do every day thanks to funding from public radio stations, foundations, corporate underwriters, and listeners like you. Thank you to all the Marketplace investors who've contributed over the last year for helping keep public service journalism strong. All of us really appreciate your support. Now a story about technology to combat the scourge of food waste. It is a spray. Avocados with the new coating reach store shelves this week in the U.S. From WESA in Pittsburgh, Marketplace's Erica Barris reports on this giant leap forward for guacamole and solving the food waste problem.
Wearing this invisible plant-based coating, a whole avocado can now last up to 4 times longer. Andy Herrig with the Food Marketing Institute says despite the initial costs of this new product, the coating can ultimately be a big money saver for retailers if used on a wide variety of produce.
And their product is not going to end up in landfill. They can afford to have a little cost because that should help them on their overall supply chain.
The avocado coating was developed by Appeal Science in California, and researchers are trying to find natural ways to keep oranges from molding, tomatoes from rotting, and greens from browning. Chris Cochran is with ReFed, an advocacy group working to reduce food waste.
The average American family spends about $1,600 on food that they purchase and then throw away in their home.
Less waste, more savings. So avocado toast aside, or on the side, as the world's population keeps growing, enhanced peel technology is one possible way to feed more people around the globe. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.